Thank you. It is so good to spend this time with you and be able to come into your homes. We thank you for following along in our Bible studies each week at the same time. And we also want to thank those that take time to write us. And the encouragement part is you're studying your Bible. The letters that we get are telling us that, you know what, the Bible is becoming interesting. We're really excited about the things we learn in the Bible. We're studying it for ourselves now, and that's wonderful. That's what makes it all worthwhile, folks, is for you to get your Bible out and begin to read it for yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and to be able to see these wonderful things. We're now over here, as we continue on here, with the signs of the times here, as John is taken up into the fourth chapter here of the book of Revelation. He's caught up here. The door is open, and we're sort of following John up into heaven, and as we get a glimpse in chapters 4 and 5, prior to chapter 6, where God begins to send the judgments upon this earth, things that you cannot even believe are going to happen, which have not happened yet. So we want to begin to look at a few of the signs here, just a few, and see what God has to say. And you'll see that a lot of these things are taking place right before your eyes today. And if you're an older person, you've seen in the last 20 to 30 years a tremendous change in the United States of America that you live in today. Things 25, 30 years ago were absolutely not heard of. There were morals, there were standards, there was honesty, there was principles, there were values, and you're seeing all of these disintegrate right before your eyes, things unseemingly. So let's begin and go in our Bibles here as we examine these times over here to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, we're just going to through this. We're not going to bring whole messages on each one of these, but we're just going to point out some things that is happening in your day, your age, right now, that you can see if you're willing to take what God says in the Bible. It's right before your eyes. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, two things are prevalent that are going to take place in the last days. That is, you got to remember now, we're speaking of last days. We're speaking of from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're almost 2,000 years down the road. We're almost at the end of the time. But in the last days are the times when these things begin to come in. Now let's notice here. Now the Spirit speaketh expressingly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. That's demons. That is a third of the angels that fell, rebelled against God, hates God, hates God's children, the Christians. And these are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The word devils means demons. There's only one devil. There are trillions of demons, many, many demons. Then it goes on to describe two things, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. And then he goes on. Two things we want to point out. Religion, and you're going to find some churches, says our pastors have to practice celibacy. Nowhere is that in the Bible. Nowhere. Even the pastors are deceived because when they go to study, they're not taught the Bible. That may come as a big shock to you, but you question some of the pastors and you'll find out they know more about ceremonialism, they know more about church doctrine, but they do not know the doctrines of the Bible. The Bible. Go question your pastor, and you'll find out real fast what he knows. Ask him if he can quote John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, 1 John 5:13, and so forth. See if he knows that. But this is a sign of the time. In fact, every pastor must be married. Now, we're not talking about if a pastor wife dies or that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the qualifications of a pastor. The Old Testament priest had to be married. Did you know that? There's no priest could be a priest unless they were married. Now we come along with religion. Religion says you can't be a pastor or a priest or whatever unless you are single. And that's exactly opposite to the Word of God, you see. But you're not going to know that if you never carry your Bible to church. And you're not going to find, if you're not encouraged by that church to carry your Bible, then there's no way in the world that pastor is never going to read those verses to you out of the Bible because it's going to refute what their leaders in their church have said contrary to the Word of God. So consequently, you go to church every Sunday, you go through all your formalities and your rituals and everything else, and you know nothing of the Word of God whatsoever, and you're totally deceived because you won't read the Bible, and you listen to a church and a preacher that practices exactly opposite of the Bible, you know, beans from apple butter. How sad that really is. But this is one of the signs of the time. Forbidding to marry and abstaining from eating meats. These are all traditional things that have nothing. Why in the world would a church tell you not to eat meat or not to eat this on a certain day? It has nothing to do with Christianity. Here it is a satanic, demonic, damnable, satanic doctrine. Do you follow that? Then you're following a satanic doctrine. Doesn't matter what your church is. Doesn't matter how big it is. It matters if, first of all, you're going to listen to God. And you, this may come as a shock to you. God doesn't really care what you think and what your opinion is. He doesn't really care about that at all. In fact, he could care less. He does care about what you think about what his opinion is, you see. And this is the contrast between humanism and between divine inspiration of the Word of God, you see. How embarrassing it's going to be when you stand before God and find out you followed a church, you followed a man, and the things they did were contrary to what God said to do. Depart from me, you're cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's just one in the last times. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. And you're going to find out over here, 2 Timothy chapter 4 here in verse 3. And you're going to see here what God says, and give a lot of this to Timothy. He says in verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, and reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Get this now in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You know, I called it, I think I mentioned this once before, but I called one of the heads of the ELCA Church, Evangelistic Lutheran Churches of America. And I wanted to know what the what this church taught. I want to know from the top dog. So I called them over in Chicago, and I said, I want to know. And if somebody asks me what this church teaches, I don't want to tell them something wrong. I want to tell, and you have people ask you, well, what does the Covenant Church teach? What is the Baptist? What is the Lutheran? What is the this and that? There are many different organizations within the Lutheran Church. The ELCA just happened to be one that I picked, that I wanted to know. I had heard some things about it, and I wanted to call, so I called headquarters up in Chicago and talked to one of the top dogs up there, one of the top men. And I asked him several questions, and one of the questions I had asked him, I was interested because I had heard, and I did not know this to be true or not to be true, so the only way you find out is if you call and you find out. So I called and I said, I've heard that you ordain homosexuals, and I don't know if that's true or that's not. Would you tell me if your organization ordains homosexual preachers? He said, no, we don't. I said, boy, that's great. I said, do you take practicing homosexuals into your church as members? He said, yes, I do. Yes, we do. We do that. And I said, the thing that appears to me, that's not good. That's contrary to the Word of God. That is absolutely contrary to the teaching of the Bible, is to take homosexuals, practicing homosexuals now, into your membership in your church. And I was talking to someone later on in the week, and I said, and they go to that particular church, and I said, what do you think about taking homosexuals in? Oh, that's all right, that's all right. Yeah. I said, well, what about if they want to work with your youth? What if these practicing homosexuals want to head up your youth group, or they want to go on an overnight outing or so forth like that? I said, it's a funny thing, and here the person is following what their church teaches and hasn't evidently read the Bible at all, because the Bible in Genesis chapter 19, God destroyed the sodomites. He destroyed the perverts, and homosexuality is a perverted lifestyle contrary to the Word of God. So we have a church that takes them in as members. God destroys them in Genesis chapter 19. Which are you going to believe? Now, if you go there, then you're going to be taught that. But I doubt if you'll ever hear about Genesis chapter 19, where God destroyed the five cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, but there were three other cities that were destroyed too. These were sodomites. They came unto Lot. Lot was in a backsliding condition. He moved there. And they came unto him and said, bring these men out. And we want to know them. This is new flesh. This is new meat. Bring them out to us. Bring it out to us, you know. And so you have in the latter times, in the times we're living, you have your liberal churches, and you have others now that ordain homosexuality. This particular organization does not. So when I talk to somebody and they say, well, what does this church believe? What's the ELCA believe? I can tell them exactly what they believe because I have got it from the top dog. Now, to try to get it, I've tried for a long time to get a doctrinal statement from them, but you can't get it. It doesn't exist. I went to several churches. I went to several pastors. You cannot get it. They will not print what they believe. You can't get it at all. You can't get a concise, what do you believe about tongues? What do you believe about this? These are all signs of the times of apostate churches that will not put in writing what they believe. They will take homosexuals into their membership. And then if you have a child and you go there and you have a little boy or you have a little girl, they want to go on an outing, how do you know that that person, since a homosexual, practicing homosexual, can now become a member of the church and they'll take them in as members in good standing, then how do you know that person isn't leading your youth group? How do you know that person isn't going to pass their sodomite and perverted lifestyle onto your child at some campsite somewhere when you take them on an outing? Well, all of this is contrary to the Word of God. Totally contrary, 100%. So we're in the last days when this kind of perversion is accepted by the church, and there are many others. This just happens to be one I've called. I'm going to call some others. And when I do, I'll tell you what their answer was. So we'll give them to you one at a time as I contact them to do it. I don't just go on hearsay. I call and get a hold of the top office and talk to the top people and find out for sure. I bypass the local pastors because sometimes they don't agree themselves as to what they believe. And I found that to be true. But let's go on down here now and look at some other things here. It says here, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And the sad part about it, this young lady I talked to goes along with this. That is total brainwashing. But if you don't read your Bible, then you're going to agree with man, which actually calls God a liar. And why in the world you go to church like that? I have absolutely no idea. I'm going to take what the Word of God says over what the Word of man says and over their damnable philosophy to include the homosexuals into membership of their church. Now, I'm not going to do that, and we're not going to do that here. But thank God for the churches that do stand on the Word of God. Remember this, God destroyed the Sodomites. And in 1 Corinthians, you find out, over there, or in Romans, you find out in chapter 1 that God calls them, they are perverted. They've lost and left the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. These are reprobates. These are haters of God. You ought to read Romans chapter 1 and see what God thinks about the practicing homosexuals. Now, let me say this, and then we'll go on to some other signs here. You're going to find out here, there are homosexuals who can be saved. And there are those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are those who have denounced their perverted lifestyle and said, no, I was wrong. This is a perverted lifestyle. I'm no longer practicing this. I don't want to do it anymore. I was wrong. It was sin. It was absolutely wrong. And if you go to a church that accepts homosexuals in there, practicing homosexuals, you better keep an eye on your children, because I want to tell you, the years I spent on the police department, I've dealt with them. I know what they do. I know how devious they are. I know that they'll try to put their practices onto your children. And if you're naive to stand there, you could lose your child over something like this because you're not on the ball. You're not sharp. You're not watching. And you went along with the philosophy of a church instead of going along with the clear teaching of the Word of God. You're on dangerous ground if you're in that type of a position. Well, let's go on over here now and look here. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, we have another sign of the times here when we speak on the rapture, which we did last week. You find out here, there will be those that say, where is the promise of his coming? Notice here in verse 3, knowing this first, that in the that there shall come in the last day, scoffers, and these are men that laugh at the Bible, walking after their own lust. They live only for what they can get out of their church, out of the community, or anything else, and they are pretenders. They are not real. They put a phony front on, and these are counterfeit Christians. They could go to church every Sunday, but if they're going to find one that doesn't preach on sin, We're going to find one that doesn't mention Jesus Christ coming back. They're going to mention one that if you're baptized, you're all right. You're all right. Do what you want. Or go in and confess your sins next week. You're all right. Your preacher will forgive your sins and so forth. But they're not going to point you to Jesus Christ and Him as the way to heaven, Him as the forgiveness of sins, Him as the only way to salvation. No, they're going to engulf you into their church, but they're not going to point you to Christ. And it says here, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Well, that's their philosophy, and it's a damnable lying philosophy. And let me ask you this is a good challenge to you. Do you go to a church? Have you ever heard of the rapture? Do you ever hear that Jesus Christ is coming back? Do you ever hear that when He breaks those clouds that the Christians are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds? So shall we ever be with the Lord? Do you ever hear the promise of Jesus Christ coming at the rapture? Do you ever hear that? If you never hear it, you're an apostate church. You're in a church that is just going with the signs of the time. A church that is controlled. You see, Satan doesn't ever want you to hear that Jesus Christ is coming back. He does not want you to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Not there. Oh, yes, we'll believe on Christ, but I've got to do good works, but I've got to be baptized, but I've got to do this or I've got to do that. That's not the gospel. Galatians chapter 1 says that's a perverted gospel. You see, that's another gospel. The only gospel that takes you to heaven is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ plus nothing. That's it. That's all. That's it. He paid the price. He said it is finished. He didn't say it's almost finished. Now you got to finish it up. And when you get there, and when you get to heaven on your own good works, you're going to try to get there on your own good works. You know what you're going to do? That you're going to get up there, and maybe the Lord will let you come up in front of His face before He throws you in hell. And you know what you're going to say? Oh, Lord, look here. I've done this. Look what I did. I gave some money here. I gave some money there. I helped this person here. Oh, boy, look at that. And the Lord's going to reveal some of your underhanded things that nobody knows anything about. And then you're going to say to the Lord, oh, look how good I am. Lord, look how good I am. Then you're going to pass through the cherubims there on the side of the altar. And you're going to be there face to face with the Lord. You know what you'll probably say? Scoot over, Lord. There's now two of us. Scoot over, Lord. I'm as righteous as You are. There's now two of us. Scoot over and let me in too. We're now two. Two of us now, Lord. And then you'll say, depart from me, you're cursed. All of your good works are nothing but a pile of filthy rags. These are the signs of the times. Does your church ever preach about Jesus Christ coming? Does he ever preach that the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and us which alive remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds? So shall we ever be with the Lord? If you never hear that in church, you're in an apostate church. You're in a church of the last days. You're in a church of a cult church. If you never hear Jesus Christ preached and Him coming back, the last words when Christ left heaven that was sent from heaven or left this earth to heaven, the last words after He ascended that God gave to mankind was, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Acts chapter 1, verse 11. This same Jesus which is preached unto you, this same Jesus which is taken up, so shall come again in like manner. The last words after Christ ascended up into heaven to mankind from heaven was the fact Jesus is coming again. You know the last prayer in the Bible, even so come Lord Jesus. That's it. The whole theme is two things. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for your sins. The second theme is Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming again, and He's coming for you and I. Well, let's look at some more signs of the times here. Let's go back here, and we know here the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's for sure. We look on over here to 2 Timothy while we're over here now. Let's look in chapter 3. And here it talks about in the last days also. In verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Now, there's one thing I want to point out, if I can here, and we're not preaching a whole sermon on each one of this. Without here, disobedient to parents, and then in verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers. You know what? You have never seen, there is a generation that knows not the Lord. You have never seen coming out of the hippie generation from the 60s that are now mothers and dads, do your own thing and so forth. Their children are doing the same thing. That's why you got your drug infested. Not all of them now, because there are some that came out of that generation that are Christians now. There are some that are a witness for Jesus Christ, but they're few compared to the populace. but there are some, and thank God for them. They have a tremendous witness for Christ. They have a tremendous testimony. They denounce their drugs. They said, you know what? I thank God I'm saved from that kind of stuff. I thank God I have a home in heaven. I thank God I'm not hooked on those damnable drugs anymore. That could have ended my life prematurely. So we thank God for the Christians who have accepted Christ, come out of that. But we got a lot of those parents today out of that hippie generation back in the 60s that their children do the same thing, you see. Free love, free life, no respect, do your own thing, whatever you want to do. Here it talks about, and God knew this, clear back, way back, almost 2,000 years ago, he writes about the time you're living in today, where it's being totally manifested, where it's being amplified. You're seeing it mushroom into the times that you're sitting right in the midst of it. And then he says here, without natural affection. You know what? When you begin to see mothers kill their children, and you begin to see them babies born, twins born, just a few hours old, we'll put them up for sale, $25,000. Or we'll find a little baby just born 5, 6, 7 hours old in a garbage can somewhere, hoping somebody will find that little baby. And can you believe that? Without natural affection, can you realize the fact that children 6, 7, 8, 9 years old kill their neighbor's children because they get in a fight over a baseball or something? Or it rolled into their yard and they don't like them one thing or another? So you can thank your television for that. You can thank your trash that's on there. You can thank your producers of those programs with their violence and everything, that you can kill anybody, don't even have any sensitivity about it. There is no value on human life anymore compared to 25 or 30 years ago. These are the signs of the times. And they're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's where you get this adage here. Do your own thing. If it feels good to you, just go ahead and do it. What they fail to tell you is there are consequences to that. These are the signs of the times, folks. Signs of the times. If you're a Christian, you ought to be looking up. If you're not a Christian, you ought to be looking to the Bible to accept Jesus Christ, because if the rapture comes, you're going to be left, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and you're going to be there to get the judgments of God, as we're going to read on as we go on here to chapter 6. Now, let's go on back to the Old Testament and get some things back here that were prevalent before the judgment of God was upon the nation of Israel. Let's go here to the book of Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5, all right? Jeremiah chapter 5, and we're going to look at a few things here. And in verses 25 to 31, let's read it here. This is before God was about to bring the judgment, but these are the signs that took place in the nation of Israel prior to God's judgment upon them. We see the same signs today. Get this now, in verse 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. What a lesson for Christians. For among my people are found wicked men. They're in there. They lay wait. And he that setteth snares, they set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. So they use people in their organization. They use people in order to fatten their own pocketbooks. They are waxen fat, and they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. These are some of your most wicked. But yet they cover it up with a self-righteous on the exterior, but inside they're full of dead man's bones. They judge not the cause, and the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. Isn't that amazing? And the right of the needy do they not judge. They don't care about anything but themselves. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Picture this as being America. God's a righteous judge. In verse 30, a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesize falsely. How many cults do you have? And I want to say this. Any church that does not preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the only and complete payment for sin is a cult religion, period. And Satan loves that church. He loves it. Because that kind of message will never get you to heaven unless it's Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and Him alone. It is finished, and that is it. Again, let me quote. Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through the Son. Now, if you're going any other way, you're in a cult church. Mark it down. Then it says, notice this, the prophets prophesize falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. In other words, what that pastor says, buddy, you better do, or you're going to get excommunicated out of your church. In other words, listen to me. It's not necessary to bring your Bible to church. Listen to me. And then, in the last part of the verse, and my people love to have it so. Foolish, foolish, brainwashed people go to the same kind of preachers that prophesize falsely. And you know how you can tell? You know how you can tell if they're brainwashed? They never carry their Bible to church, and they don't have a chance. And what will you do in the end thereof? There's nothing you can do. If you're a person like that, your pastor ought to be telling you, bring your Bible to church every Sunday. We're going to study this text here today. We're going to preach on this out of the Bible today. If you don't carry your Bible to church, you're practically in a cult church, because that preacher can tell you anything, you know. He can open his little prayer book up there, whatever he wants to do. You have nothing to compare. The Bible is truth. Let the Word of God be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So if you don't carry your Bible, you've got nothing to compare humanism and human philosophy against the truth, because you won't take the truth to church with you, which is the Word of God. You don't have a chance. You've been totally brainwashed. In our next message, we're going to continue on some of the signs of the times with the astrologers and so forth, and it's going to be interesting to you. But in conclusion here, our time's gone. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? We can only bring the message to you that God loves you. He loved the world, and He gave His only begotten Son. He loves you, and Jesus Christ died for you, so you don't have to die the second death and spend eternity in hell. And He died on that cross, paid for your sins, and He said, whosoever believeth in Me, trust in Me, and have faith in Me, all are used interchangeably in the Word of God. You believe in Jesus Christ. You know you're a sinner. You know that Christ loves sinners. He loves you, and He died for you before you were ever born. And He said, whosoever believeth in Me will never perish but have everlasting life. We hope that you'll receive Jesus Christ by hearing of the broadcast. And if you have and are doing it, please write us and let us know. We'd love to hear from you, because you're then a brother and sister in Christ. And you don't have to be a Baptist to be a brother and sister in Christ. You could go to whatever church you go to. Thank God for that church that preaches the Bible. Amen. And we'd be just rejoice in hearing from you. Love to. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.